I was staring at my calendar this morning, and it's just it's a work of art.
Oh, yeah.
Color-coded, optimized to the absolute minute, synced across like three different devices, and I had this realization.
Which is.
In business, we are absolutely obsessed with control. We track KPIs, we micromanage workflows, we try to engineer our way out of any uncertainty.
It's the illusion of the spreadsheet, right? If it fits neatly in a cell, we think we can control it.
Exactly. But today, we're doing a deep dive into the one massive chaotic variable that absolutely refuses to fit in a spreadsheet.
Uh-oh.
The one thing that can take your perfectly optimized Q4 strategy and, well, literally bury it under 6 feet of snow.
The weather, the ultimate disruptor.
And usually, when we talk about weather and logistics, the tone is, well, it's panic. It's how do we stop this? Or who do we blame?
Right.
But the stack of research and articles we're looking at today, it's a guide on handling weather-related shipping delays. It takes a totally different angle. It's not about meteorology.
No, thankfully, I am not qualified to predict the weather.
It's about psychology and strategy. The central argument here is fascinating. You can't stop the storm, but how you react to the delay, that might actually be worth more to your client than the shipment itself.
It sounds counterintuitive, doesn't it? Like, sorry your production line has stopped, but hey, isn't my email etiquette fantastic?
Right. It sounds like a consolation prize.
Well.
But the data suggests there's some real financial truth to it. So let's get into it. And I think we need to start by setting the stage because the stakes here feel so different than just, I don't know, me waiting for a new pair of headphones I ordered online.
Oh, night and day. And this is where a lot of businesses get tripped up. We've all been trained by that, that Amazon Prime mindset. If my headphones are 2 days late, I'm annoyed. Maybe I leave a one-star review. But in the B2B world, business-to-business logistics isn't just the final step, it's the lifeline of the whole relationship.
The source material uses a pretty heavy phrase for this: cascading failures. Can we unpack that a bit?
Yeah, let's look at the mechanics of it. Most modern businesses run on just-in-time inventory, or JIT. Okay.
You don't have 3 months of raw material sitting in a warehouse anymore because, well, warehousing costs money. You have maybe 3 days of inventory.
So you're operating with zero margin for error.
Exactly. So if that truck carrying your widgets is stuck in a blizzard in the Rockies, it's not just a late package.
No.
On Thursday, your machines stop. Your workers are standing around being paid to do nothing. And then you miss your delivery to your client. That one late pallet doesn't just mean a refund, it means a line stoppage.
Yeah.
The financial impact is just exponential.
So it's not an inconvenience, it's an existential threat.
Precisely. And that brings us to the geography problem. You have to remember where we're all operating. North America is basically a logistics obstacle course.
Yeah, it's not just one flat highway from New York to LA, even if the map makes it look that way.
Far from it. You've got the Rockies, the flood zones in the south, the snow belts in the Midwest. The source material brings up the British Columbia floods from late 2021 as a prime example. Do you remember seeing the footage of that? I do. It was surreal. I remember seeing these images of highways that just ended. They just dropped off into nothing.
It was a classic black swan event.
Define that for us quickly, a black swan.
It's a term from economics and risk management. It refers to an event that is extremely rare, very hard to predict, but has severe consequences.
Right.
And in BC, you had these atmospheric rivers that just washed away entire sections of the Coquihalla Highway. It didn't just slow down trucks, it severed the connection between the Port of Vancouver and the rest of Canada.
So in that scenario, it doesn't matter how good your logistics manager is, you can't drive a truck over a missing highway.
No, you can't. And this is the first mindset shift the guide really pushes for. When a major weather event hits, the priority has to shift instantly from speed to safety.
I can imagine business owners hate hearing that. Safety doesn't pay the bills.
Well, yeah, if I'm the client, I'm thinking, I don't care about safety. I care about my deadline.
That's the instinct.
It is. But you have to realize, the truck driver didn't park on the side of the road for fun. They parked because if they keep going, you might lose the cargo and a human life. Communicating that shift from we are rushing to we are sheltering, that's step one. You have to reset the baseline.
Okay, so we've established the battlefield. The stakes are massive because of just-in-time inventory. The terrain is hostile, and these delays are, they're inevitable. But here is where the research takes that pivot I mentioned. It moves from the road to the mind.
The psychology of the client? Yeah, this is my favorite part of the stack.
It cites a study by Mitto about customer patience. And I have to be honest, when I first saw this number, I thought it was a typo. It says 91% of consumers are more patient regarding delays when they experience excellent customer service.
91%. It's staggeringly high.
Is it, though? Or is the bar for customer service just so incredibly low these days that basic competence feels like a miracle? Because I feel like people are generally pretty cranky when things are late.
There is a bit of that, but I think it speaks to a deeper human need, especially in a crisis. In B2B, your client is stressed.
Mm-hmm.
They have a boss breathing down their neck about that missing pallet. What creates the anger isn't usually the delay itself. Most reasonable people get that you can't control a blizzard. The anger comes from the void.
The silence.
Exactly. The feeling that they are alone in the problem. The study suggests that if you fill that void with information and empathy, the anxiety drops and the patience goes way up.
So the strategy isn't how to clear snow off the I-90. It's how to manage the anxiety of the person waiting for the truck.
Correct. And the guide breaks this down into three very specific tactical strategies. This isn't just be nice.
Okay, let's get into them. Strategy number one, information is power. Or, as the guide puts it, the sooner the better rule.
This sounds so obvious, but you'd be amazed how many companies fail right here. They wait. They think, well, maybe the driver will make up the time. I won't tell the client yet. I don't want to worry them.
That's the instinct, right? Don't deliver bad news until you are 100% sure it's bad news. I mean, nobody wants to send the "we failed" email if they don't absolutely have to.
And in logistics, that hope is the deadliest mistake you can make. Think back to that production line. If I know on Tuesday that my raw materials are delayed,
you can adjust.
I can reschedule my shift. I can call my customers. I have options. I can maneuver.
But if you tell me on Friday morning, right when the truck was supposed to arrive,
then you have surprised me with a failure. I have no time to react. I look incompetent to my boss. And who am I going to blame?
You.
Me. Yes. A managed delay is a headache. A surprise delay is a catastrophe.
So what does good look like here? Are we talking about like manually emailing every single person the second it starts to rain?
Ideally, no. The gold standard is real-time data. The guide emphasizes this heavily. You want a system where the client can actually see the delay happening on the map before you even call them. That just removes the mystery.
But let's be real. Sometimes tracking goes dark, especially in a storm. Cell towers go down, GPS fails.
It does. And that's where the fallback protocol comes in. The guide says, the second you even suspect a delay, you send the email. Even if it's just a heads up, we're watching a weather system.
It feels risky, though. Like you're borrowing trouble.
Uh-huh.
Hey, just so you know, we might be late.
It feels risky, but it builds trust. It says, I am watching your business so closely that I spotted a potential risk. That leads us right into the second strategy, which is about what you actually say in that email.
Radical transparency.
Yes.
I feel like transparency is a buzzword we throw around a lot. Hey. Oh, we're a transparent company.
Yeah.
But the guide is pretty specific about what this means in a shipping context. It means stopping the vagueness.
Oh, we've all gotten that email. Due to unforeseen circumstances, your package is delayed.
It sounds like a robot wrote it. It sounds like a total brush off.
It creates suspicion. Unforeseen circumstances could mean a blizzard, or it could mean you lost the paperwork behind a desk. I don't know, so I assume the worst.
Right.
Radical transparency means you say, there's an ice storm on the I-90 corridor. The carrier has implemented safety protocols and pulled all trucks off the road until 6:00 a.m.
See, that paints a picture. I can't argue with an ice storm.
Exactly. It shifts the dynamic. It's not client versus vendor anymore. It's partners versus the elements. Mm-hmm. You aren't making excuses. You are reporting the facts.
And that detail, mentioning the safety protocols, that feels important.
It is. It's crucial. It reminds the client that there are human beings in those trucks. It's a lot harder to scream at a customer service rep when you're picturing a driver trying not to slide off a mountain pass.
Okay, so we're communicating early and we're being painfully honest. But now we have to talk about the part that creates the most friction for business owners. Strategy 3. The good faith move.
The money talk.
The guide suggests offering compensation discounts, credits for weather delays. And I can hear the listeners pushing back on this. Wait a minute. I didn't cause the snow. My margins are already razor thin. Why should I pay for an act of God?
It's the knee-jerk reaction. And legally, you probably don't have to pay. Most contracts have force majeure clauses. You're covered.
So why do it? Why take the hit?
Because you aren't paying for the delay. You are paying for the retention. The source cites this 2018 study from the Journal of Marketing that is really compelling.
Okay.
It showed that even a low to moderate discount can increase customer retention by over 7%.
7%. In the B2B world, where landing a new client takes months of work, keeping 7% more of them is. That's huge.
It pays for the discount 10 times over. Think about the customer lifetime value, the CLV. If a client spends $50,000 a year with you and you give them a $200 credit on one delayed shipment, that's not a loss, that's a marketing expense.
It's a signal.
It's a powerful signal of value. It says, I value this relationship more than the profit from this single transaction. And for a new client who's maybe judging you for the first time, that is so powerful.
It's putting your money where your mouth is. We're in this together is just a slogan until you actually write a check.
Exactly. But we have to acknowledge the operational side of this. We've talked about these three strategies: early info, transparency, compensation. But if you're moving 500 pallets a week and a nor'easter hits the entire East Coast,
You can't call 500 people. You can't manually check the weather for every single zip code and write 500 personalized emails about ice storms.
you will drown. And this is where our deep dive moves from strategy to tools. The source material highlights a platform called Freight.com. And what's interesting is how they frame it, not just as software, but as business resilience.
Which is a fancy way of saying plan B.
Right. So let's look at the redundancy problem. Many businesses have a contract with one carrier. They use carrier X for everything because they get a good rate,
Putting all your eggs in one basket.
and putting that basket on one truck. If carrier X has a major hub in Chicago and Chicago gets snowed in, your entire supply chain just freezes. You are helpless.
So how does a platform like Freight.com change that?
It's an aggregator, so it connects you to a whole network of North American carriers, both LTL and parcel.
Quick pause. For the listeners who aren't logistics nerds, what's LTL?
Sorry, yes, LTL stands for less than truckload. It's for when your shipment is too big for the post office, but not big enough to fill an entire 53-foot trailer. You're basically sharing space on a truck.
Which is efficient, but complicates things, I'd imagine.
It's very complicated. LTL operates on a hub and spoke model. Your pallet goes from hub to hub, getting unloaded and reloaded. That's where weather really, really messes things up. If one hub shuts down, everything backs up.
So back to the platform. How does having a network help me if the weather is bad everywhere?
It gives you options to pivot. If you see that the LTL networks are clogged up because of a storm in the Midwest, you might be able to log in and say, okay, you know what? I'm going to break this pallet down into 10 large parcels and fly them out. Or I'm going to find a carrier that takes a southern route.
You aren't locked into one carrier's limitations.
Exactly. It's about redundancy. And the guide emphasizes that this visibility, seeing all your options on one screen, is what allows you to execute strategy number one, the information part. You can't tell your client where the truck is if you don't know where the truck is.
And they mentioned Freight.com offers real-time tracking on both pallet and parcel services. So that automates that whole "where is my stuff" question.
Which saves your support team from drowning in those 500 emails we talked about. If the client can self-serve the information, your team can focus on the real fires.
There's also a point here about accessibility. The source notes there are no upfront or monthly fees to access the platform. That seems relevant because usually enterprise resilience comes with a big enterprise price tag.
That's a huge barrier removal. It means you can set up that redundancy before the storm hits without bleeding cash. It's like insurance you don't pay for until you use it.
And finally, they touch on the human element, which seems contradictory for a tech platform, but they mention access to shipping experts.
It brings us full circle. Algorithms are great, but when a landslide wipes out a highway, sometimes you just need to get on the phone with a human who knows how to navigate the chaos.
Someone who can say, "Don't use that route. Trust me, I just saw the advisory."
Exactly.
So let's zoom out and look at the whole picture here.
Yeah.
Because we started this conversation talking about how helpless we all feel against the weather.
We did. We started with the idea that nature always wins.
And in a physical sense, it does. You can't stop the rain. But what we've uncovered is that the business impact of the rain is actually very, very controllable.
It is. We moved from the chaos of the event to the psychology of the response. We learned that transparency, real gritty transparency, actually buys you patience.
We learned that silence is the enemy, not the delay itself. And we talked about how a good faith discount isn't a loss. It's an investment in the relationship that pays you back with interest.
And we looked at the tools, like a platform like Freight.com, that make that level of responsiveness actually possible without hiring an army.
It really reframes the whole concept of a logistics disaster.
It does. We tend to think of shipping as a utility, you know, like flipping a light switch. It works or it doesn't. But this deep dive suggests that shipping is actually a communication channel.
A communication channel. I like that.
When things are going well, the channel is silent. No one thinks about the delivery driver. But when things go wrong, that channel opens up wide. And what you broadcast on that channel, panic, silence, or calm, helpful transparency, that defines your brand more than your product ever could.
That is a really powerful takeaway. It's easy to be a good partner when the sun is shining and the trucks are running early. Anyone can do that.
But your true value is proven when the storm hits.
I want to leave our listeners with a thought that sort of popped into my head while we were discussing that 91% patience stat. And it's a bit provocative.
Let's hear it.
We spend our whole professional lives striving for perfection. 100% on-time delivery. Zero defects. But if we look at the psychology, the fact that proactive service and good faith compensation build such strong loyalty, it makes you wonder.
Go on.
There's a concept in service marketing called the service recovery paradox. Have you heard of this?
I have. It's fascinating.
It basically says that a customer who has a problem that is handled perfectly often ends up more loyal than a customer who never had a problem at all.
Because they've seen you in action, they know you have their back, they know you won't cut and run when things get tough.
Exactly. So could a weather delay, if handled with this radical transparency we talked about, could it actually be an opportunity to lock in a client for life?
It's the ultimate question, isn't it? Perfection is invisible. Great problem solving is memorable. It's very possible that the client you saved from a disaster trusts you more than the client who never had one in the first place.
Something to think about the next time you see a storm warning on the weather map. It might just be an opportunity in disguise.
Agreed. Just make sure you send that email first.
Just one. Send the email. That's all for today's deep dive. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Stay safe out there.